Test ER, Tuesday the 1st of May, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, chapter and verse, part 2.
Thanks. If you recollect, on the previous occasion, we talked about the division of the Sedras, which is why I was first asked, and the question is going around, why do we say the Sedras in the way we do, and how did they come about? When I was asked to talk about this, I spoke to Dudi, and he said, can you talk about that particular topic? And I said, well, it's part of the wider topic of the whole structure of the Aleph-Bays and the words, etc. She said, all right, well, in that case, let's give you a few chances to talk about the different aspects, which I, of course, is not averse to. And we actually did do the Sedras first, but really it's probably the wrong way around, because what you've got to start with is the Kedusha Sa'osia. So you're talking about the Kedusha of Lashon HaKodesh, and today, I haven't given these out, does anybody want to pass them around? We're going to have a look at some of the aspects of the Kedusha of the letters themselves, the Osis. The Gemara in Kedushin tells us about the Sofim, Horishonim, they were called Lamanikra Horishonim Sofim, because they were called Sofim, because they counted every letter, they counted the words, and they counted the Psukim, and the Gemara there talks about the different center of the Torah for letters, for words, and for Psukim, etc. It's a highly complicated Gemara because it's miles out, and you have to understand what the Gemara is meaning by that. But that's not for today. But what we do see is that the Sofrim Rishonim counted individual letters of the Torah. They counted them to find out what their significance would be. Now, I've just jotted down very quickly last night, as you always like to have something to take away, just some ideas of different aspects of the Osios. And the whole subject obviously starts in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Dalet. I've set that Gemara out because it's a very important piece of Gemara where it talks about the implication of each of the letters of the Aleph Beis. And the Gemara tells us that, for example, Aleph stands for Aleph, Base for Bino, Aleph Bino. The first thing you've got to do is have a bit of Seichel. That always comes first. You've got to learn how to, before you can do anything else. And it always reminds me of Rabbi Lopkin's affirmative Rochel's vote. He once asked me how many Chalokim are there in Shulchan Aruch. And I thought, well, it's rather a simple question for Yeshiva Bacher and Kibbutz. I said, well, there are four. He said, no, you've got it wrong. So what do you mean I've got it wrong? I mean, I can count. There's Orach Chaim, there's Yerodea, there's Evan Ezra, and there's Kosh and Mishpat. You've still got it wrong. I looked at him, I saw the twinkle in his eye, and I said to him, oh, you mean the fifth Chelet? You still got it wrong, he said. I said, I give up. So Abnei then turned around and said, the Seichel is nicht der fünfte Chelet, das ist der erste Chelet from the Shulchan Aruch. And when you've got your Seichel, you can then learn the other four Chelokim. So it's the same thing the Gemara is telling us, that Aleph Beis of Yiddishkeit is Aleph Bino. So the Gemara is learning from the words which describe the Aleph Beis exactly what they represent. Once you've got Bino, the second and the third thing, however you count, is Gimel Dalet, Gmoil Dalim. You've got to do Chesed and help people. And the Gemara goes through the whole of the Aleph Beis, and more besides. We haven't got time to go through each piece of the Gemara, but it's there in front of you, and you can see exactly what the Gemara learns from each of the letters of the Aleph Beis. So they've got a significance. Now, I once heard that we know that every letter represents something. But it's not just like English or somewhere else, that you've got, there's no Kedusha. It's called Lashon HaKodesh, not Lashon HaKedusha, the holy language, as if there's a holy language, there's this or there's that. No, this is Lashon HaKodesh, the language of holiness. Now, it is true that in Lashon HaKodesh, that we have, sometimes you have two nouns, one with a smichus form, instead of a noun with an adjective. Adjectival phrases is an English concept, And then, although you can have a word with an adjective, very often in Oshna Kurdish you have a word with with another noun, and one's in the smichus, and that gives you the meaning. However, there's a difference between the two. If it's an adjective, it's just describing it. Once, however, it is two nouns together with a smichus, like lishon akurdish, the language of holiness, that means it's intrinsically holy, not just something different from the others. This is the language. According to the Shloah Kurdish, Lashon HaKodesh is the source of all languages. All other languages have actually got their source in Lashon HaKodesh. They all come from the holy language, and all the other languages are just developments from that. HaKodesh Baruch Hu spoke to Adam HaRishon, he spoke to the others, and then the Mefarshim have a lot of discussions exactly what the particular Kedusha is. Obviously, the simple that the Ramban says is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu talked to the others in that language. That's the language of the communication from the Ribbono Shel Olam. There are other things as well. The Ramban says it's a Lashon Nekiyah. You don't find any vulgarities in Lashon HaKadosh. The brother of the Maharal has a long arichas on the Lashon HaKadosh, and one of the things he says is it's the most precise language. You can say with one word a whole sentence. So, for example, Vayishchoteu, and he slaughtered it, so to speak. One word which has a whole sentence in it. So Lashon HaKadosh has got all sorts of different features to it, but the basic point is it's got kedusha. And its kedusha comes, why? Because this is the language which the Ribbono Shel Olam used. Now, I once heard that the letters, each letter has a significance. And the letter significance comes from the first time that letter is used in the shayrish of the word in the Torah. So if we were to take, for example, beis. I haven't been right through the whole of the Alephis. I'm just taking a couple which I happen to have heard about. The beis, the first time the beis occurs in the root of the word, it's not in the word bereshis, because that's a preposition. It's the second word, boro. And that teaches us that beis stands for brio. Wherever you have the word beis, it's a form of creation. And therefore, wherever that letter is attached to one of the other shloshim, we'll see in a second, there is the connotation of creating something out of something. That's what the beis represents. It's actually more than that, because there are five motzos ha-peh. We say them on Yom Kippur, the five different parts. You start with the garon, that's the throat. You move from the throat to the chich, which is the palate. From the palate you move to the tongue. From the tongue you move to the teeth. And finally you come to the svasaya. And if you think about it, these five are progression of speech. A gutshot, such as the letter Aleph, is deep at the beginning, and that's unearthly. The Aleph represents Hashem, it represents Atlas. So you expect the Aleph to be right in the throat at the back, at the very beginning. The base, which we said is creation, comes from the front of the mouth, from the pair, because it's coming out from the final part of the speech. So it makes sense that the base represents Bria and creation. Now, anything which comes from the same motzah ha-peh is interconnected. But there's a difference. If I say birth, that's fine. But if I say with a p, you're likely to get saliva all over you. Because I'm p, and it goes all over the place. So the difference between a b and a p is that a p is a much more accentuated form of b. And Rav Shmuel Hirsch develops this in various places, but if you look at the pay root, it always represents things coming out with a punch. Like a par is a bull which goes racing around. A pri is a fruit which comes blossoming out. Prio, primo, lehafriz al amido. For the pay raise root means something which comes out and causes complete damage. The hafriz is to exaggerate. Lefarish is to explain and have it all clearly set out. Lefros for the samach is to spread. So whenever you've got the peyreish root, it represents forcefulness of something coming out, which is more than just the peyreis root, which is something which starts. So you see, the letters themselves have this connotation. And it goes much further than that. Let me take the letter resh. Where is the first time that the resh is in the root in the Torah? Where's the first root resh? Before bara, not the beginning, it's going to be the first letter. It's bereshis, because the base is a preparation, so resh stands for resh. Resh means the beginning, Bereshis. That's what Reshis. Rosh is the beginning. Resh is always the beginning of all that happens. And just listen to this. We know from Rabbeinu Bachya that there are six Alephs in the first Pasuk of Chumash. Aleph represents Eleph. Aleph is 1,000. There are six Aleph. We know that the world is going to last for 6,000 years. So the Gemara of Odeh Zarah, we hope Mashiach will come before that, but if he doesn't, he'll have to come by the year 6,000, which means that at least our great-grandchildren will have a chance. Unless you add in the extra 165 years of history which has got lost, in which case we might still see Mashiach if he comes in the normal time. And Mr. Hashem, he should come sooner. But the points out that the six Alephs in Bereshis are the six Alephim. But now let's go further. If you take the Resh, Resh stands for the beginning, which is 200. Now, if you count up the Rosh Tevis of the first 34 Pesukim of Chumash, which is the Bries HaOlam, the whole 34 Pesukim of the beginning of Bereshis is Bries HaOlam, you've got one base and 33 volts. Agreed? The first term that word starts with a base. The next 33 Pesukim start with a vav. Now who's got a calculator, who's got an arithmetical mind? 33 times 6? 198. Base? 200. That's Resh. The beginning of creation. The Resh is Merulis in the Pesukim of creation. Multiply 200 by 30, and you, hang on a second, 30, that's right. So Resh is the 200, and you'll find that 30 times 200 is 6,000. Do you know how many times Resh occurs in Baruch Shama? The Baruch Shoma is the beginning of our davening inspirations of 30 times Resh. I counted this morning. 30 times Resh in Baruch Shoma. Because we're talking about the Israelim. Now what do we finish davening with? We all finish with Oleinu L'Shabeach. Have you ever counted in Oleinu L'Shabeach and how can they cover to the end, including the Hebrew Varik, which got knocked out by the censor, but we now say it again. If you count up, you'll find there's 30 Reshes there. 30 Reshes in Baruch Shoma, 30 Reshes in Oleinu. Why? Because 30 times Resh is 6,000. 30 times 6,000, that's Bias Olam. The length of the Olam is 6,000. So that's why there are 30 Reshes in Baruch Shoma and 30 Reshes in Oleinu Shabeach. And do you know where else 30 times Resh occurs? I bet you don't. It's in the first Dibros, not in the second Dibros. And everybody knows that the second Dibros is Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, because it's for Klal Yisrael. But the first Dibros, which for everybody, is Zeichel Amasa Bereshis. So in Zeichel Amasa Bereshis, in the first Dibros, you have 30 times Resh. It's remarkable. It's teaching us from the letter Resh. It's true, it's Remes, it's Gematches, etc. But we're seeing hidden in the Oseis all sorts of different things. As I was, knew I was going to be saying this morning, something just hit me in davening this morning. I'd never thought about it before. You know there's certain letters which don't appear in the Shemoneh Esra. We have discussed that. There's no final fey in the whole of Shemoneh Esra. There's no fey in the first block of Shemoneh Esra. There's a reason with the fey, as we said before, represents the mouth, etc. We've discussed that. However, I just thought I was looking for the letter Gimel. It just was puzzling me. I don't know why. I found that there are six Gimels in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esra, and then there's altogether another 12 Gimels in the whole of Shemoneh Esra, and most brachas don't have a Gimel. There are only certain specific brachas have a Gimel. But it's interesting, we say Shemoneh Esra three times a day, and there are 18 brachas in Shemoneh Esra, that's 18 Gimels. However, there's a 19th Gimel in the winter. No? Mashiv Ruach. Which is like Lamar Shinnon. The Lamar Shinnon is the 19th book, which is came later. So the Mashiv Ruach and Medication are sometimes. And I don't know the significance of it, but I've just noticed it. What I'm trying to show is that there's definitely deeper significance in every part of the tefillah, even if we don't know what it is. So what we're saying, therefore, is that the letters of Lashon HaKodesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Chofres Osius and the Torah with the Osius, and therefore it's understandable that the Osius would get their Kedusha from the Torah. It's also known, Yesh Shishim Riboy Osius LaTorah, famous medrash, 600,000 letters in the Torah. But if you make it count, we know that there are only 3,000... less than that. I've written it down somewhere here and on this list. I've forgotten where it's gone now. Which one is it? Fourth from the last? Oh yes, here you are. 295,195 short, with 300,000 short. Now, I'm not going into that at the moment. All I'm going to tell you is that once I wrote a sheet in Hamea and Parshas Korach many years ago, where I've given 14 different drachim as to how you can reconcile the two. It's remarkable how the Mephoshim have gone into it. If you're interested, you have to come and get a copy of the particular Meshit. 14 different ways of reconciling how you get 600,000. However, not only is it Yesh Shishim Riba Oisus La Torah, that's Yisrael, it's also, the word Bereshit stands for Torah Yesh Bo Shishim Riba Oisus, which is an anagram of the same thing. Now, what's the point? It's trying to teach us that every member of Klal Yisrael, of the 600,000 Yidden, are all somehow or other have a connected with a particular letter. And the thing is that when you're writing a Sefer Torah, everybody writes his letter. Usually the person will write the letter, the first letter of his name, or somebody, he'll choose a letter because he feels he's connected with that letter. Because the letters of the Torah somehow or other represent Klal Yisrael, and just as the letters are in the Torah, so we Klal Yisrael are part of all that. That's all inherent in that particular Medrash. Let's just go a little further. I'm going quickly down the list of the points that we've made. The number three, I said each letter is not necessarily a letter and so on. It's made up of other letters. With the exception of the Yud and the Vav, all letters are a combination of other letters. That, by the way, is one of the ways you can get to your 600,000, by a combination of letters. You don't just look at the letter itself, you look at the letter combination. So if we take the letter Aleph, Aleph, as we all know, is a Vav with two Yuds. So the letter Aleph has the Kedusha of Hashem's name in it, because it's really Aleph, and Aleph is really evolved in two Yuds, and the letter's made, and we know that every letter has a numerical significance, that's very important for also, every letter has its own numerical significance, and therefore the Aleph represents Hashem, and that's first in the Aleph base. The word Aleph itself, Aleph means to teach. The first thing is to learn. You don't learn, you don't get anywhere. So the Aleph is, the first thing in the Aleph is Aleph Bino, as we said, the Gemara says. Aleph means to teach and to learn. So that's why it's Aleph. But even if you look at the Gematria of Aleph, Aleph Lamed Pei is 111. 1, 1, 1. It's 3 times 1. We know that 3 is Mechazik, so that if it's 1, 1, 1, that means it's telling us that the Aleph is the Aleph in all respects. The Lamed, it's also a very interesting letter, because it's the first letter of the second half of the Aleph base. It's the 30, if you've got 22 letters, then it's the 12th letter, which is going to be the first half of the second half, and that's the Lamed. So the Lamed corresponds to the Aleph. In what way does it correspond to an Aleph? Well, Lamed means learning. Aleph is one form of learning, and Lamed is another form of learning. Take the letter Lamed. It's the tallest letter in the alphabet. You can't get a higher letter. Why? Because the most important thing is Limud HaTorah. Of course you've got to do Chesed. Of course you've got to do other things. But unless you learn, like Rav Leib said, if you don't have Seichel, and you can only get Seichel from learning the Torah, then you're not going to get anywhere. That Lamed is also made up of two letters. It's made up of a Chof and a Vav. The Lamed is made up of a Chof and a Vav. A Chof and a Vav is also 26. So you're seeing a connection between the Aleph at the beginning, which is meaning learning, and the Lamed, which means learning, and it all has Hashem in it. The Chof Vav. Now, if you take the Aleph and the Lamed and you put them together, you get various things. First of all, you get Kael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Secondly, you get El. El means you get right into the matter. You go into it. That's what El is different from Le. Le means you go towards it. El means you go right in. It's more emphatic. But also, more important perhaps for our purposes, is Aleph and the Lamed together are the two words which mean no. Al, lo. Al means don't do it, lo means don't do it. Both come from the Aleph and the Lamed together. The Gemara says in Brachos, in Adas, Oyin, Havdolo, Minoyin. If you've got no Sefer and you don't know, how are you going to be able to know what to do and what not to do? The difference between a human being and an animal is Oyin. Most Adam and Abraham are Oyin. A man knows when to say no. But how does he know when to say no? He can only know when to say no if he's learned the Torah properly. The Torah teaches you Havdolah. And that's why we say Avdolah B'chayinein Adas, the Motzei Shabbos. So we have to learn in order to know when to say no. Now, al and lo are two words meaning lo. Al means one type of lo, and lo with the lamed aleph means lo mit an aleph, to say it means absolutely not. And a lot of kashas are answered by that difference between the al and the lo. I mentioned that on previous occasions. I haven't got time to go into everything at the moment, but there is throughout Chumash, throughout Tanakh, the difference between al and lo is marked, and you can learn a lot of things whether the Pasuk says al or the Pasuk says lo. But the point is that those are both a combination of these two powerful letters, the Aleph and the Lamed, which come together. Talking now also about the Lamed, and we're talking about the base, this is actually the 32nd shir that I've been given on the Torah way. And it occurs to me that it would be not foolhardy not to mention the fact that the Torah begins with the letter Beis, Bereishis, and it ends with the letter Lamed. Now what's the significance of that? Well, we all know that the Lev represents the Lamed Beis Nesivus HaChochmah. There are 32 ways of getting to Chochmah, and it's because of that. But there's more to it. The Lamed and the Beis together mean joining up. There's a beautiful Ksava Kabbalah on the word Lulav. He asks, why do we change from Kappas to Modem and use the word Lulav? It's truth, Lashon Chazal. But in any case, Al-Latilis Lulav is incorrect. It's Al-Latilis Al-Barminim. So the Gemara gives an explanation why we say Lulav. But the Ksava tells us something brilliant. He says the word Lulav was perfectly the correct word. It was chosen by Chazal because it's got everything that you want. Because the word Lulav stands for Lul and Lev. Lul is a hen coop. It's, Lul means something which is joined together like a loop. You see, you tie it together. It's physical attachment. And the Arba Minim have to be together. The Arba Minim are one group. So the Lulav represents the grouping together. And of course the Arba Minim represent Klal Yisrael. And we've all got to be physically together. But physically together is not enough. It's got to be spiritually together. And he says the difference between Lul and Lev is Lul is physical joining. And Lev is spiritual joining through the heart. The lathe, it brings proofs that the Lamed Beis root means to come together spiritually and be not just physically. So the lulav is absolutely the correct word because it teaches you should bring all the Arbaminim and all Christ are got to be together. What better word could you get for the Chazal which tells you everything? And that's why they chose the word lulav. But what we see is that the lathe, which represents the mind and the emotional seat of understanding, that is brought from connection. Now, therefore, the Torah begins and ends with the Beis and the Lamed. But the problem is, we talked about this Beis root being creating something. If you take the Beis Lamed root, because all roots start off with the one letter from which part of the mouth it came from, it has its primary meaning, you put it together with a second letter, and then it gets the two together then create a general meaning, an overall meaning, and then you have your third letter which slightly changes the overall. So we said before, the pay raise route meant to break out, and you've got different types of breaking out. The Beis Lamed route, wherever you have it, means rubbish. Emptiness. Nothing. Let me give you some examples. Hevel is emptiness. Beli is without. Baal is nothing. Bilodar. I think I remember even saying this here a long time ago. Who are the two biggest jokers in Chumash? Bilon and Bullock. Bill and Ben and Bill and Bullock. You know, but they're the two Bills. And I was once talking about reading a novel. Novel, that's right. No, novel is novel. Novel is foolishness. Novel who? Kishmo Kane who? Without being a novel. So wherever you get Beis Lamed, Baal is a desire of some sort, the Beis Lamed means emptiness, not Mabul, Bilbul, Bola, to swallow something up, Bali, Bola with the head. It always means rubbish. How can it possibly be that the Torah started with the letter Beis and finished with the letter Lamed? If the whole of the Torah is meant to tell you what it's all about, the letters are telling you secrets, how can the Torah start with a Beis and finish with a Lamed and give you Baal? Well, the answer actually came when my nephew asked me an interesting question. He said, in the Gemara, The Gemara keeps on talking about Baal Teached, Baal Tashkis, Baal Tetame. The Torah doesn't call it Baal. The Torah calls it Al. We said before, Al, don't do it. Al Tashkis, Al Teached, Al Teached. Why does the Gemara constantly call the thing Baal this and Baal that and Baal the other? Well, let me say, Lashon Chazal Lachud. But Chazal don't change something for nothing. There's got to be a purpose to the change. And unless we have some indication, you can't change it. There's a famous Yad Malachi on the first Amud Bob Metzia, how the Gemara can learn Matzah, and the same thing in Psochim, Ola Abbas. What's the Gemara's kasha about Ola Abbas? What O mean? But no, Chazal says, oh, it's something different from what's in the Chumash. No, they say it can't mean something different. Unless you've got a Raya, it means the same. If you've got a Raya, that Chazal uses it differently, okay, then you can learn it differently. But if you've got no Raya, it means the same. So why did they change it? I thought about myself very clearly. A person who does an Avera is making Hevel of the Torah. It wants to get through to you that a person who does a Lav is not just Stim breaking the Torah. He's making ash and blot of the whole world. Bam, he's destroying the world. That's why Chazal wanted to get that message across. It's not Altiach, it's Baltiach. You're causing disaster. If that's the case, why is the beginning and end of the Baal? Well, the answer is simple. I mentioned to you about the novel before. The novel is the play what you read. Once you finish reading it, you throw it away. So therefore, it's Baal. Once you finish that novel, it's useless. You can't do anything with it. You might be able to sell it second hand to somebody, but basically it's going to go into recycling. However, if you treat the Torah like that, then what you've done is caused complete disaster. You've caused the Torah to be heaven. The only way that the Torah will become what it should be is if you chaza over again. So when you've finished the Lamed at the end of the Chumash Yisrael, you don't say, I've now finished Chumash. You start immediately from Bereishis again, and then you get your lathe. If you just read through the Torah because you want to say, I've finished the Torah, or Daf Yomi, a person does Daf Yomi once, goes through the Seder, says, oh, I've now finished Daf Yomi. He's not finished Daf Yomi, he's made a complete joke of the whole thing. He just read it through once because he felt that he wanted to finish Shas. He wanted to be able to say, finish Shas. That's not the way to do it. It's only when you chazal it over. That's why as soon as we finish a Masechta, we start another Masechta. As soon as we finish Shas, immediately you start from Brachas a second time. Because we know that you don't finish. Reminds me that a Talmud of mine, he came to the 8th Yeshiva in the middle of the 7th Kiddushin, and he started in the 3rd Perek, I think, or the 2nd Perek. So I asked him, no, did you manage to finish the whole page? He said, well, to tell you the truth, Rebbe, I didn't actually finish it, but I'm finished with it. in other words, we're not finished with the Torah because you finished the Lamed at the end of Yisrael. You're not finished with Shas because you finished. And the same thing happens in Shas. The men of Ma'emasai. And what's the last letter in Shas? Who can tell me? What? Okay, look, it's Elav Hanochus. Tof. The Mishnah at the beginning is a mem, and the Gemara finishes with a tof. It's true, the Mishnah finishes with a mem, and the Gemara starts and finishes with a tof. That is also true. But if you take the Gemara Brochus and the end of the Gemara in the end of Nida, it's mess. What on earth is the Gemara giving you that symbol for? It's mess. A dead thing. It's the same message. If you will then chazer over from the end of Nidhi, you'll start Brachas again, you don't get mess anymore, you get Tam. It's perfect. So the mess transforms into Tam, provided you'll do chazorah, provided you go into it. All this lies in the way the letters are set out in the Gemara and in the Chumash and so forth. We're running out, so let me just very quickly go through the things. So there are altogether 22 letters in the Aleph base. There was a specific reason why this number represents Kedusha, the 22,000 Levim we know about. We know the Shuv Hashem Rivavos Alpha Yisrael, that the Shekhinah is only Shoyer on 22,000 Yidden. Two Gemaras about a person who became a Ger and he made up the number, or somebody who had a child and when there were only 21,999 Yidden. Two famous Gemaras. That 22,000 creates a Kedusha because of the Chof Beis Osius. But there's more to it. There are five final letters, and the 27 letters were chosen not at random. They were chosen particularly in order that you can get and count all the numerals, which is 1 to 10, and you can count from 10 to 100, and then from 100 to 1,000. Because the 27 letters brings you up to 900. The final tzaddik is the last of the letters of the Chof Zayin Osius. That brings you to 900. And then you go, the Aleph gives you another, brings you to the 1,000. It gives you the whole range of numbers, 1 to 1,000. And that's actually why there are 28 letters in the first Pasuk of Chumash, 27 letters of the alphabet base, plus the Aleph, which then becomes Aleph, gives you 28. And that number 28, of course, is Koyach, it's the Gematria of Koyach. It's also the number of letters that there are in the first Pasuk, which before the Aseret HaDibros, also 28, and the number of Atah Yigdal. And those of you who daven the Nusach Sfarad, what's the Nusach Sfarad Ashkenaz? Ashkenaz. Well, if you leave this list mentioned, go to Svarad, you will find that after Avod and Sin, the various psukim are said, and one of the main reasons of those psukim is they've got 28 letters, because that's before you come to the Kaddish, which is also based on the number 28. That's a separate issue. But we're seeing that the number is significant. Now, that number 27 is significant in other ways too. We're going to run out of time. I'm looking at the clock. Oh, yeah, sorry. Okay, time is up. Let me just finish this last little bit. 27 letters in Refa'enu, 27 letters in the Pasuk in Bisharach, which we say in Krishna, and there's 27 Pasukim in the Parsha of the Bris. All this is to do with the force and significance of this number 27, which is the Shlemus of the Alphabet. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that time. I was looking, I didn't see it properly. We'll leave the rest for another occasion.